Welcome, my friends, to the podcast that never ends, where we gather our clan and talk about peace and love in our lives, the difficulties along the journey, and how we rise up. We will experience a little thing I call Kluberty together, find our sweet spot, and planting our seeds to watch them grow in our magic garden. I'm Uncle Dave, and our transformation starts right here. Hey, and how are you doing? Want to welcome our guest to the next episode of Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. Today we're going to talk with Dr. P, Dr. Wayne Purnell, the outfluencer. So we're going to hear about a whole bunch of great stuff. Dr. Purnell is a highly sought-out speaker, and I had actually met him doing our TEDx talk in October. That was an experience. It was a great weekend. And Dr. Purnell is also a clinical psychologist, and he's been working in leadership development for over 35 years. We're going to hear a whole bunch of stuff about him. He's doing excellent, and he has a number of books that have gone bestseller in, and he's also been featured on the Amazon Prime television series, as well as other television interviews along the way. Welcome, Dr. P. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, too. Thank you. Yeah, this is a great time to be having a lot of peace. The world needs a lot of love, and sometimes you need to take a stand and bring your bat. So it is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Dave.
It's great. And we've talked about it, and I've just recently been on Dr. P's show.
Yes.
Yeah. So
One sharp sword. Cutting through to what matters most. That's right.
Right. We actually realized that one sharp sword and bring a bat is very similar in the type of thinking in that way of, like, it's not necessarily something that you would normally think of when you talk about one sharp sword. You wouldn't think of something as peaceful, but other than cutting to the chase of everything.
Yep. You cut through to what matters, which means you're cutting out what doesn't matter. And, you know, the whole idea for one sharp sword is that you could have 1,000 dull knives and be attempting something or trying to make a point or trying to get through somewhere, and 1,000 dull knives isn't going to do it. One sharp sword's going to cut through. And, you know, it's the same thing also with bring a bat, is that, you know, in the martial arts, for example, if you have a sharp sword, it is always in its sheath until you're ready to use it. And so it's this sort of harnessed power, almost the sense of I can show up powerfully without having to be a bully in the world, right? And so the whole idea of bringing power with you, and that comes through, you know, it's back to you, David. It comes with peace, love, and you know what, there's a bat if we need it, right? So this is awesome. It's great the whole concept here, really good.
Yeah, no, thanks. I know we spoke about it, and it took me a little while to get it going, but now it's going full blast. I have to tell you, I'm excited to get you out there as one of my guests, one of my first guests. You'll be in the top five. which is just great, and I'm looking forward to it. So one of the things that I want to talk to you about is, we've been talking about peace and love. What brings peace and love to you? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I love that. The whole concept of peace and love, it's very grounding, you know, and I start my day there. I start my day when I open my eyes in the morning. The first word, it doesn't matter if I've had a great night's sleep. It doesn't matter if it was the worst night's sleep. It doesn't matter if the cat has suddenly jumped on me and I'm startled awake. The first words out of my mouth are thank you. And thank you because I put myself into this place of instant gratitude, and I put myself into this space of I have been given a gift to serve greatly today. I am determined to show up at 100% for each of the people that I engage with. And as a breakthrough success coach, you know, that's something that's really important, to be able to bring that focus. Well, it starts with being that grounded. And so, yeah, definitely the whole idea of peace and love, you never think of in a business setting, but I will tell you, I bring it to every engagement that I have with people, and they can feel it, you know, and it starts with that sense of gratitude for being able to be in that space with another human that way.
Yeah. You mentioned grounding, and I one of the things that I always talk about is grounding. And I always joke about that the word earth and heart are the same letters, obviously in a different arrangement. And because you're grounding, so how do you do your grounding? What are things that you use to ground yourself?
Yeah, grounding. What have I used? Well, there's all kinds of things. Remembering my vision. And I do a process where I bring people through a sense of clarity. When you have total clarity about what's in your life and what's out of your life, the filter is pretty incredible. So that's grounding too, is to be able to say, you know, this belongs, this doesn't belong. I no longer tolerate this thing in my life. The other piece is to recognize we all have so much going on. It's easy to get overwhelmed. And I sometimes think about the concept of a picnic basket. You know, if we looked at a jackhammer or a hairdryer or a bread knife, all of those have their place in the world, right? They're all important. But if we're going on a picnic, then only the bread knife is going to be the important thing now. And so part of grounding is to pay attention to what's really important now. There's all these important things that could be grabbing your attention. And you know, it could be email. I get about 300 emails a day, 300 plus emails a day. And each of those requires a decision and some follow-up. And sometimes the decision is, this is garbage. And it's really about what's in and what's out. And that is so grounding too. And certainly taking time for me. I absolutely actually have blocks on my calendar that I call, quote, self-care. That's what I call it, right? So this is my me time. And even if it's a 20-minute block or even if it's a 3-minute block, you know, it's really important to be able to give yourself that gift during the day a couple of times a day. 3 minutes. If you've ever even tried 1 minute, set a timer. 1 minute, close your eyes, breathe, concentrate on your breathing. 1 minute can seem like half an hour if you do it in the middle of your day. It's amazing. It's amazing.
That's awesome, because that's part of that bring a bat type of thinking, in that you set your boundaries. It's not only about taking that stand. It's also about setting those personal boundaries. And I appreciate you sharing
sure.
that.
Yeah.
Now, what are the other ways that you might share, you know, bring a bat in your life?
Yeah, tough times. You know, when I was 42, I had a good amount of success behind me. And I realized that also didn't mean I was happy. And I think that a lot of people could relate to that, you know, we strive so hard and we have a life that we just sort of get through. And there were a lot of things going upside down in my life at that point. I was close to bankruptcy. I was close to losing my job. My marriage was pretty rocky at that point, and I needed a chance to just get away and get my head together, because if I had stayed in that, it would have been a downward spiral. So I flew to my brother's house. He lived in Nevada at the time, and he's 12 years younger. Jeff was and is 12 years younger. So growing up, he could never really help me as the younger brother, that much younger. So when I chose his house to fly to, he was really excited. And I'm sitting on his living room floor and I'm rocking back and forth. And this will tell you how long ago this was. I'm rocking back and forth and I'm pulling at the shag carpet. Right. And I'm like, I could just feel it. Right. I'm just rocking back and forth and I'm pulling at this carpeting, just sitting on his floor, like being in this space of, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's next. And he's like, brother, brother, you know, he's really excited. And like a puppy about to piddle on the rug. I'm like, dude, just whoa, whoa. He's like, and inside I'm like, I'm just trying to be depressed here. Could you just mellow just a little? And he's like, hey, I'll tell you what, can we get a, and he's like, I'm like, what? He's like, we should get a pizza. Do you like pizza? Let's get a pizza. How about if we got a pizza? I'm like, a pizza's fine. That's fine. He's like, great. And he jumps off, he bounds off to the kitchen. And again, as I said, this will tell you how long ago it was. He picks up a phone book. He starts leafing through the phone book. And he finds the Yellow Pages. And he's like, great. And he finds the pizza place. And he picks up the handset for the phone, the corded phone, yellow. It was on the wall with the big long cord. And he is looking at the phone book and he has the phone in one hand and he yells out from the kitchen to me. And he's like, hey, what do you like on your pizza? And I'm like, I basically gave him the answer that was so easy because we had kids and it was like, the kids don't fight if we just get what they like, right? So the pineapple and olives, right? And he's like, and I go, pineapple and olives. And he's like, he pauses, that's cool. And he starts to dial in or punch in the numbers. And I burst into tears at that point. And he sees me do this and he puts the phone back on the wall and he closes the phone book and he comes over to me and I'm like, I'm not sobbing, but I would say I'm weeping, right? That, and he puts his arm around me and he says, dude, it's just a pizza. And I'm like, I know. And here's the thing. And, you know, it's like, here, Jeff, look, here's the thing is no one's ever asked me that question before. And he was like, what? I go, look, no one has ever asked me what I like on my pizza. You asked me, what do I like on my pizza? And I gave you the answer that was the easy answer, the answer that was the one that was easy to go along, to get along, the one that just made it so simple. And I realized in that moment that if I'd been giving away small choices like that in my life, what about the big choices in my life? What about the big decisions? And that was so huge right then to make that, to just come to that understanding. That changed everything. And so in terms of, you know, where have I brought a bat? It was like, right there, because no more was I going to accept going along to get along. That was what I call my big bounce. That was like, somebody asked me, my brother, right, asked me a question about what I like on my pizza, and my life changed. And the question I would have for our audience is, where have you gone along to get along that you no longer need to? You don't have to go along to get along. This is where peace, love, and absolutely bring a bat. There is no reason to go along to get along. If you've got an opinion, your voice matters. And that was huge. There were things that I began to take on excellence at that point. I began to live up and level up at that point.
That's big, awesome. That's big. Awesome. And that's exactly... To me, that what I would call it, I know a lot of people have a lot of different names for it. And for me, that's one of those Phoenix moments. You know, it doesn't always have to be at your low point, but it's that moment where you're like, all right, I need to now get up, level up. You know, it's like the old games. I mean, you and I are at the age where we remember, you know, Super Mario game when it first came up. You'd get to a certain part of the level of the board and you'd go back if you died. But then you were so excited when you got to the next level and you didn't have to go all the way back to the beginning. And that's that powerful piece. That's that Phoenix piece. And you know, I noticed some of the words that you use, and you know, not making fun, but that was an excellent story. But that's that rise moment. That's that resilience moment. My R's, as you know, when I sometimes act like a pirate, you know, the R's. So, you know, so in that moment, that's definitely one of your pieces. And, you know, what you've shared with us so far is also about resting, making that time for that respite in our own lives, even every day, that 3 minutes that you had mentioned earlier.
Yeah. Now, yeah, you can't give what you don't have, right? So, you know, I, you're one with a bat. I'm one with the sword, and you know, the strongest samurai, the most proficient samurai would still take time away from the battle to rest. It's so important to refuel, right? There's another R, refuel, for, you know, rejuvenate. You've got to be able to replenish. I'm giving you all the R words. It really is so important to be able to do that. The other part of you can't give what you don't have has to do with growth too. You need to be reinvesting in yourself the entire time so that you can grow and that you can serve others more greatly. And you can't do that if you're burning out and if you're not choosing to invest in yourself. So yeah, that was a big turning point, and everything started to blossom from that point.
Yeah, once you get that clarity, it's really amazing. So what is your favorite R word since we're using it? Do you have a favorite R word that you choose to use at times?
Yeah, I actually do. I have two favorite words. One of them I'm talking about a lot right now because, you know, we've been a year plus into the pandemic. We've been a year in shutdown. People use the term lockdown. The truth is it's been shut down. Lockdown, it hasn't really been a thing. But every day we've been facing uncertainty. Every day we've been facing, oh, we could go out. Oh, we might be able to have gatherings. Oh, we could go to a grocery store or even a restaurant. Oh, just kidding. No, you can't. And it's like, I don't know how many listeners will remember Charlie Brown and Lucy. And Lucy holds the football for Charlie Brown. Kick it, Charlie Brown. Really, I mean it. I'll hold it this time for you. Charlie Brown comes running up. And just as he's about to kick the ball, she yanks the ball away. He goes flying up and lands flat on his back. And it's like, you know, okay. And that's the way it feels, like another takeaway every day. And the word resilience is there to remind, another R word, to remind you that you've come through some pretty tough times. You've made it every single day. And that's so important, right? That it's like you've chosen to show up. And that makes you strong and courageous. And so to remember that, you know, this is a pandemic we're coming through. It's not, nobody woke up today and said, let me mess with Dave's life. You know, that David Chinmesky guy, let's get with him. Let's mess with him. No, it's not personal. Nobody said that. It's like, this is around the world. Today I was speaking with somebody in the UK at an early morning meeting with them. And for them, that was the afternoon. And they're feeling it, obviously. And they're, you know, we don't necessarily pay attention to their news unless you are tuned into that. And, you know, I was having a discussion with him about that too. Like, everybody is feeling it. It's not just one person. It's not just your family. So recognize you're not alone. Recognize that you're getting up. Recognize that you are doing it again and again, and you can do it with purpose. And that's what I think resilience is about. I would also venture into the second R word that I use. A lot of people are like, okay, be safe. And a lot of people will raise their kids almost in bubble wrap. Like, oh, you've got to be safe. You've got to be, you know, and what I do is I raise my kids knowing that they're smart. Like, they're smart enough not to play on a freeway. So I'm not going to tell them be safe. I tell them, well, I'm going to back this up a little bit. I tell them something, and it comes from something I did to and for myself when I was in graduate school, because I realized my walls were closing in. I was doing the exact same thing every single day. I was seeing the exact four walls. I was going to the exact same classrooms. I was seeing the exact same people. I was getting to school. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was drudgery, right? And it's very similar to what we're experiencing now. The exact same walls, the same people, the same food. And so I got to this point of frustration where I wrote a four-letter word ending in K in bright orange letters. And I put it on my the threshold of my door, so it would be the last word I would see going out into the big bad world. And that four-letter word ending in K reminded me to risk well. Risk. I told myself that if I was going to go into the world, I needed to do one thing differently that day. Well, just one, right? Just one. Do one thing different. Talk to the professor, talk to my classmate, go try a different food, go to school a different way, come home a different way. Just do one thing different. And from that, I turned it into risk well, which is where I don't wrap my kids in bubble wrap. I teach them how to be smart about the decisions they make and how to grow. Because if you're, here's a riddle for you, Dave. Do you know what happens if you never step out of your comfort zone?
You don't grow. All the growth, all the magic comes out when it.
Yep.
And to keep using the R's, no risk, no reward.
Right. Exactly. Right. So the answer to the riddle is absolutely nothing. Right. If you don't step out of your comfort zone, the answer is absolutely nothing happens. And so you've got to step out. You've got to risk well. And so even now, as my kids are adults, they'll encourage me. They're like, okay, hey, risk well. And I'm like, that's awesome, because they're giving it back to me, which means it's inside of them. And it's so powerful to think about, okay, what can I do differently today? Because if I didn't risk, I wouldn't be an international best-selling author. I wouldn't be on television every week. I wouldn't be interviewed by the New York Times or have an article in Forbes, another one, I should say. And like, is it bragging for me to say it? Sure. And it's not an accident that all that stuff happened. That was me risking stepping into a different arena that I'd never been into before. And it's only by growing, it's only by taking that step that we do choose to grow. And growth is a choice. And so, yeah, the R words, resilience, because man, are we coming through something? We have bounced back day after day after day. And the other one is risk well, because wow, growth is a choice. And that's the only way to grow.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is so awesome. And what I like about it is that you shared that story about with your kids, that your kids then are now telling you, which to me is telling me, and one of the other things we talk about on Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat is about planting the seeds in the magic garden. And the magic garden is us. And obviously you've planted seeds within your children, and they're showing you by the beauty of the conversations and relationships that you have with them to give it back to you and shine back on you.
It's true.
Do you have any other seeds that you might want to share with us? Little gems that the audience might like?
Well, little seed gems. Well, the whole idea of growth, right, is you don't suddenly become the person that you want to be. You don't suddenly become, some kind of casually wealthy person, or you don't suddenly become a well-read learner, You plant the seeds that you want to reap, right? You don't plant carrot seeds and hope to get a pumpkin, right? You've got to look ahead. Well, here's what happens for most people. I do a thing called a values journey assessment. And if you look back, you are not who you were 20 years ago. And most people will go, well, of course not, right? That's good, because you're not who you were 20 years ago. You're not who you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. And if you think about it, you're not who you were last week or even yesterday. And that's based on your experiences. Well, who are you now? Awesome. It's the sum of all of your past experiences. And the question is, what do you truly desire? And once you understand what you would truly, truly treasure, what would you treasure? What would you, under the heading of magic garden, what would you tend to, right? What would you plant and pull weeds from and give, you know, there's enough fertilizer out there for everybody. What would you bring sunshine to and water to? And what does that life look like? And now it's about stepping into becoming that person today. What values does that person who's 5 or 10 years out actually have, right? If you go, well, someday I want to be a millionaire or a multimillionaire, it's like, awesome. What would the values of that person be? And you've got to start living into that today. You know, a lot of people around New Year's start to set their New Year's resolutions. It's like, this is the year I'm going to lose 15 pounds. And, you know, by mid-February, they're ordering pizza and doing a Netflix binge. And it's like, that's great, but those are seeds for a different kind of outcome, right?
Yeah, not every seed grows, and it's how you grow it, right? You can hope for a lot of things. I mean, a lot of what you're talking about is also my favorite word, and I know you enjoy it, is cluberty, right? It's, you know, it sounds like that for you, that pizza moment when somebody first asked you, what do you want on your pizza, was a cluberty moment when you start to think and reevaluate. And that's where exactly what you're talking about now with the seeds is, once you can do it, once you know what type of flower you'd like to grow, what you'd like to grow in your magic garden, you know how to make it happen. That's the
exactly. And knowing how to make it happen and actually doing it, those are sometimes two different things, right? And that's where cluberty shows up, is you have engaged in a transition, right? Cluberty is about, you have grown from something and you're in this transition space. That's awesome. It's a little awkward, which is also awesome, because growth is ugly, right? It's messy. Sure. Growth is messy. And if you let that happen, if you let that be the case, then you stop worrying about having to be perfect. And right, this perfection thing, it's like, nothing's perfect until you perfect it, which means it's got to be out of you in order to perfect it. So plant the seeds that you want, right? Who do you want to become? And then tend to it and dare to be in transition and not be beautiful. Like, we see the, it's called the highlight reel. We see the beautiful moments of other people's lives on social media, and we never see the parts where they wake up and their mouth is dry and they have to pee. And, you know, it's like, there's humans out there. There are humans out there that live human lives. And do they look beautiful on social media and television? Sure. But guess what? They're humans, and it's not always pretty. Be that. Be totally 100% that.
Yeah. Authenticity is so important. And, you know, this is probably the fourth conversation this week that I've talked about perfection with different people, not necessarily all on the podcast. But perfection is just a one-time thing. If you think about it, no matter what it is that's perfect, if there's any change, then it becomes unperfect. Even Nolan Ryan, with throwing, what, 4 perfect games, or somebody will probably correct me, but I know he had like 7 or 8 no-hitters. But after any of those games, the next time he stepped on the mound, guess what? He wasn't perfect anymore. And that's the idea. Perfection, it's okay to, you know, if I would have told you that you won the lotto 99% of the time, guess what? You're not going to be upset about that, not perfection. So, you know, we need to do that for ourselves.
I love the lotto thing, because that's true. And I have a different take on perfection. And that is the notion that we are already perfect. Mm-hmm. And that each of us has what I call the perfect flaw. And for each of us, that's different, right? That we have our own flaws. We are, because we're human, we have flaws. That's perfection. right? If there was a sense that there was a perfect, ideal something, everybody would look and act identically. That said, we are in a space where everybody has this unique ability, and that quirkiness and that unique ability and the ability to try something out and try something out again and try it out again and refine it. It's, you know, practice it and refine it and practice it and refine it. That to me is perfection, right? The idea of, wow, I actually, you know, I like what I produced and I know I can do better. Awesome. Next, right? Let's do it.
Yep.
Right?
Just keep doing it. It's a process, right? Life is a process.
That's yes, it is.
Yep. That's that ebb and flow of things. And, you know, perfection. Yeah. You're the best Wayne Purnell, Dr. Wayne Purnell that we have and that you have, and I'm the best Uncle Dave that I have, you know, so that's one of the things that we have to also accept. That's one of that authenticity is knowing our flaws and embracing those. That doesn't mean they're bad. It all suits a different purpose. And if you continue to grow, you're able to then work that differently. Now, you've had a lot of growth. What are some of the things that you might have needed to unlearn as you were moving along to where we are now?
Good question. I think it was really letting go of judgment. I think it was really letting go of trying to please everybody. You know, I grew up as kind of a placator. I grew up as somebody that was, you know, somebody who placates is making nice all the time, going along to get along, right? So I needed to stop pleasing everybody. And what I didn't realize until I actually stopped that was that trying to be the people pleaser is annoying. It is really like nobody actually likes a people pleaser. I was known as a really nice guy, and to a pretty big degree, I think I still am. At the same time, you know, I'd rather be kind than nice. And so rather than trying to make nice for everybody and don't let this person be mad and try and straighten up so that person's not upset, and it's exhausting, and it's exhausting for everybody. And I know that there are a number of listeners who understand that trying to make it okay, whatever it is, it takes a lot of energy. And so giving that up was a huge release and allowed me to ground back into who am I, what do I value, really back to the question, what do I like on my pizza? And, you know, it's like, what do I really want in my life? And oh, by the way, that can change, right? That's the other thing. Allow that to change. What do you really want can change. So I unlearned how to be a placator and how to make nice for everybody.
That's awesome. And I really, as you're talking, I'm listening. I'm like, I can't let this go. So what type of pizza do you like?
It changes. There are times I love veggie pizza with pesto sauce. There are other times that I like the meat, everything. Give me every kind of meat on my pizza. There are other times that it's just, you know, like I will do. I am one of the people that I do like pineapple and ham. So aloha, you know, there's that debate. The one kind of pizza I don't like, just since we're talking about it, for whatever reason, I don't like chicken on my pizza. I just don't. I don't like, we could get a barbecue chicken pizza. It's like, make mine a cheese. You know, I just don't. Okay. So there you go. Thanks for asking. Now we know what to order.
Yeah, I know next time you come out to New York, I won't order my barbecue chicken pizza.
You can order what you want.
Right, for myself, right.
Exactly.
Right. That's one of the beauty things that I always talk about is that, like with my coaching, it's a personal attitude towards happiness. But what brings us happiness could be something happy for you, might not be the same thing for me, but it doesn't matter. We all get to the different direction, destination, but we get it there the way we want to do it. And that's the really powerful part. Now, speaking about destinations, I know you're starting to get back on the road to do some work. Would you like to share that? I'd like to hear about what you're doing.
What am I doing? Well, it's really great. Like the it's amazing. You know, as much havoc in the world as COVID has caused, it's also opened many doors. We've all done this thing, and the overused word here is pivot. We've all pivoted into something new, and we've been using video conferencing, and so I have been on the road less. That said, you know, I did fly to do the Amazon Prime television series Speak Up. I did fly and quarantined in New York during the time that the quarantine for people from California was happening. So I stayed two wonderful weeks in New York, and it was great. So we did our TED presentation. That was amazing. And then what I'm working on now is I have two big programs that I do. One is called the Powerful Presence Program, and that is really about landing. It's pretty much everything we've talked about. It's reclaiming your space. It's showing up as you deserve to be in the world, deserve to be seen and heard, and without apology. You know, I work with some pretty high level executives, and I work with people that are just starting out. And it's interesting because there are times that everybody gets to this place of almost asking for permission to be that bit bigger or to step into their dream. And it's a very interesting process because you have permission, right? You have permission. Well, powerful presence is about stepping in and going, okay, I get it. I own my dream. I own my life. I'm in control here. I'm in command. And so powerful presence is about learning your communication skills and learning your even posture and breathing and really setting your sights on something bigger, much bigger than you've ever dreamed before. And the second thing I have going on is my signature retreat. And that's pretty special. It's the Breakthrough Mastermind Retreat. I call it Stuck at the Top, because a lot of people come and they have some success behind them, and they set out on a success path. They targeted this level of success, and they, when they got there, they go, you know, I worked really hard to get to this place. Is this all there is? Like, is this it? And so there's this sense of unfulfillment in their lives. And I call that being stuck at the top, when in reality, what is needed is a breakthrough. To recognize that you're not stuck at the top. You're just, there are these clouds overhead and you can't see the next mountain peak. And so I do breakthrough coaching in a small group. There's about a dozen of us in a room. And during this time, the pandemic is still happening. And so I don't have a traditional conference room. Picture this, Dave. I've got a big grand ballroom that I've taken on. I've taken over the grand ballroom of this hotel, and there will be about a dozen of us in the hotel. So it's like in the ballroom. So it's like, picture this grand ballroom and 12 people, and we will be spread out and be able to do a small group process in a socially distant space. And the small group work is really about, who are you? What do you value now? What has been your values journey? Where are you headed? Can you dare to dream again? And so that's called Stuck at the Top. And it'd be great if the listening audience could check out powerfulpresence.com and stuckatthetop.com. And the retreat, because there's only a dozen, it's by application. So, but it's also, it's a whole lot less expensive than you'd expect, but I will leave the serious ones to check that out on their own. Stuckatthetop.com.
Yeah, and I'll make sure in the podcast notes that we'll have the links. Awesome. So that way if anybody's looking for that.
That's great. Super. We're going to be in St. Louis at this beautiful bank. It's awesome. It's a hotel that used to be a bank. It's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah. With Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat, I always say, what's everybody's sweet spot? Because I don't know if you're an athlete, but when you swing a bat, there's that special spot on the bat that it just feels so good when the ball lifts off the bat and you just hit it, and it lifts and flies away, sort of your home run. So what would be your sweet spot in life, or a message, a sweet spot message that you want to give?
Yeah, I think really to understand that what you valued doesn't have to be what you value. You know, the idea, one of the things that I teach is about the difference between core and peripheral values. Core values are things like love and integrity and honesty, and we're taught those early on and we carry those through. And peripheral values are the ones that we take on. And in our 20s, it's look at me. And in our 30s, it's like, I got to get some security. And in our 40s, it's about, I have to build legacy. And in our 50s, it's about health. And 60s, it's health and adventure, and so on. And so I would just say, you know, be willing to change your values and to look ahead at what values you need to take on. You know, I would say there are a couple other sweet spot pieces that I would offer. And that is, you know, as you move forward, there are other people that are watching you. So you are leading. And I would say, reach back, you know, reach your hand back and lift as you lead. I think that's really important to do that. The other thing that people who know me know that I'm a huge fan of Curious George. And I just, he's my spirit animal. You know, he's this cute little monkey, gets into so much trouble, and stay curious is one of my pet phrases. I just love that, because when you're living in curiosity, you can't be in judgment, right? So someone does something and they cut you off on the freeway and you go, grr. And instead you say, well, right. You instead of calling them some name, which is a quick judgment of them and their behavior, you go to curiosity and you say, I wonder what kind of a day they're having. I wonder what's happening in their life that would make them act that way. And that's really the peace and love piece, right? Is you just stay curious and you stay out of judgment. And then certainly I talked about this before. I think the other piece that I would bring here is risk well, dare to do something different every single day.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's the great way. I think that's how we'll end this piece on risk well. I think that's the one major message, is risk reward, but risk well, because that means you've thought about the risk you're taking. It's not just jumping in, eyes closed. It's actually making those decisions, understanding those decisions, and moving forward and swinging that bat. So I'd like to thank you for the time. You've been great as always. It's always good to have gems and all the different seeds that you've helped plant in my mind as well as others. So I appreciate your time and thank you. And for everybody else, just remember to make sure you have in your life peace, love, and don't forget when you need to find your sweet spot and bring that bat.
Thank you.
Well, my friends, today's journey has come to a close. I hope the seeds of peace and love continue to grow for each one of you. Remember, the peace and love surround you that will assist you to rise again. And don't forget to bring a bat for what you believe in. Namaste.